Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Gus.
The biggest thing that people complain about is infrastructure. We're all stuck in traffic. And to piecemeal this up to where it goes into so many different things may be a hard swallow for people.
You know, I have to give Sherry Chapman credit. I really do. You know, sometimes she says outrageous things. Sometimes she says very reasonable things. But she definitely has a flair for finding a way to say it in using a string of words that I don't think anybody in the history of the planet has ever used those words exactly that way before. What did she say? Well, that's going to be a hard swallow for some folks.
Maybe a hard swallow for people.
It's like Uncle Jesse was a woman. Them Duke boys was up a paddle without a hard swallow, you know? She always finds some way to say it that catches me by surprise. Talking about the local option sales tax renewal. And, you know, this is a refrain that we've heard from her and Jerry Cooey. They're a couple of the founding members of the Pitchfork Posse, and they have been protesting that the local option sales tax renewal in Santa Rosa County should go entirely to roads and maybe to drainage, but really roads has been the focus. And that the allowance of other things to be in the list of approved uses is going to be a problem for people. That people really just want roads and drainage. And they don't want to spend money on conservation that could come out of the general fund and so forth. And so they've had this refrain many, many times that, you know, trying to get the commissioners to change. And you'll recall there was a big conversation about this when, like, Rhett Rowell had asked, hey, you know, give me a percentage or give me a willingness to dedicate some of this to conservation. And they had a research team who was out there doing some, you know, polling and sampling to try to figure out what voters in Santa Rosa County really want. Because trust me, the commissioners very much want to have this passed, too, just like the administration does, because if local option sales tax does not renew, oh, boy, you know, it's in both counties. Okay, they have become completely dependent on this money as a major slice of the budget, and if it goes away, it's a problem. And the question is not, do they want it? The question is, what formula or uses for the money is going to get people to vote for it? Well, despite Jerry Cooey and Sherry Chapman repeatedly saying, do it just for this, we know what the people want, which they always claim to know what the people want, just listen to them, the county commissioners did this research. And it came back and said, well, no, you know, land conservation is actually something that people want to. And if we provide that on the ballot, that will help get us over the passage rate. And that'll get enough yeses. If you just do it for roads and drainage, there's enough people who would have voted for it if there's conservation funding, won't vote for it if there's no conservation funding. So we're going to take our own advice on this one. The professionals at the research firm, as opposed to the two of you who claim to know everybody.
People want infrastructure fixed. That's the number one thing. And I think that this entire half a cent tax should go toward that. There shouldn't be anything else that it goes to other than roads and drainage. Period. Amen.
Like the punctuation is even more potent when you put, you know, the end of the prayer after the, but it again, it's just, it's kind of cute. Jerry Cooey.
I also agree that you go make it difficult for the citizens to make their mind up on this. I know you've already made up your mind, so kind of wasting time here, but the number one thing that people need is relief in traffic. And these other items can be handled through the budgetary process.
I don't think it's ever a great strategy in trying to persuade somebody to tell them that here I am wasting your time saying what I believe. I know you're not going to listen to me. Like, I don't think you've ever managed to get your spouse to do something with that approach, or your boss, somebody in a political discussion. Here I am going through the motions, just saying what I need to say. We've got a couple of those going on. Chris Kerb, who, you know, the representative for flood defenders and always advocating about NOAA, you know, Atlas 84, trying to update those. I mean, he's literally gotten, this is the thing he says all the time. Here I am again, wasting your time like a broken record. And I always think, well, then stay home. You know, like, that's not doing anything. But, okay, fine. So people want to have their say. And, you know, to their credit, they consistently show up and talk about it. Jerry had asked Colton, the commission chairman, the District 5 representative, would you please read the ballot language so that we can hear exactly what it is that we're going to be voting on today?
The proposed ballot question, the title would be continuation of half-cent surtax for roads, water quality, and natural area protection and public safety. Then the language itself would be, shall the existing one-half-cent sales tax be continued for 5 years beginning January 1, 2027 to reduce traffic congestion by building and improving roads, protecting drinking water sources and water quality in rivers, bays, and creeks, preserve natural areas, farmland, and wildlife habitat from overdevelopment, improve public safety through modern equipment for fire and sheriff services, and improve parks and recreation facilities with independent annual audits and full public disclosure of all spending. And then simply for the half-cent sales tax or against the half-cent sales tax.
So you've got conservation, you've got public safety, you've got parks and rec in there, in addition to, you know, roads and drainage, water quality. And again, the argument is, should you have all of those things or should you only have a couple of those things? And they're going to have a vote on it, and the vote is going to go pretty fast.
I'll make the motion to approve. Do we need to vote on that, or can that be without objection, Mr. Chairman?
It's your choice.
I'll make the motion to approve the language without objection.
See no objection, so moved.
There you go, 5-0. So, and by the way, that's one of the things I still just always find it fascinating, the ways in which local bodies differ in how they execute the role of legislation. And one of the things that is only done in Santa Rosa County in the commission meetings is this, you know, without objection kind of concept. It's a consensus. They don't even take a voice vote. You know, in Tallahassee, what they'll sometimes do is, you know, how many in favor? Nay. How many opposed? Nay. The yeas have it. And then the nays can always ask for an on-the-record vote where you go with names and votes. And sometimes they do, and a lot of times they don't, because it's usually a waste of time to do it, because it's, you know, 75 Republicans against 35 Democrats, and it doesn't really matter. Well, in Santa Rosa County, the way they do it a lot is just, you know, I move this without objection. Okay, done. You know, like that's, it's just an, I don't know, it's an interesting system. It's a little bit more efficient, a little bit more collegial than anybody else does. Everybody else either puts it on a consent agenda, which means that, you know, they kind of mention the item, and then we've all previously agreed to this, so we have one big vote to pass all of those. But even those that, you know, hey, pass that without objection. Okay, cool. I don't know. It's just, like I said, I just find it fascinating comparing these different systems and seeing how they work in practice. 437-1620, 437-1620. So, that's passed. It's going to be on the ballot, so now we know. I think Escambia's is also already on. I cannot remember. I know they're going to put it on the ballot, and there was a big conversation about whether to also put the Escambia Children's Trust language on there or not. And Mike Kohler read the tea leaves, knew he was going to lose 4-1 on this thing, and he decided not to even put it up for a vote. So that is not going to be on the ballot. I mean, I suppose they could change their minds later if they wanted to. I don't think they will. They're supposed to do a committee of the whole meeting this summer. We'll see if they actually do that to talk about the whole issue of the Escambia Children's Trust. But I just cannot remember right now offhand if we've got the ballot language on already or if we've kind of like got one more meeting to put that on. But, you know, either way, that's going to go on the ballot. So in both counties, you're going to be voting on the extension or the renewal for 10 years of the 0.5% sales tax for the local option, which will go again to stuff. You know, it can't go to salaries, but it can go to stuff. 520 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Speaking of stuff, if you would like to buy that next vehicle, whether you're thinking about buying a minivan or a sedan or a trailer, well, not a truck or a Jeep or, a, you know, whatever, Frontier's got it. I mean, they've got about 300 cars and trucks on the lot at any moment. They sell about half of them every month, so they get 150 new ones in all the time. You know, they sell the old to get in the new, and the old's still new. If you kind of all they specialize in is stuff that's almost new. They don't sell new cars, but they do sell cars that are young. You know, 1, 2, 3 years young, low miles, 10 to 30 or 40,000 miles. A lot of times, cars that'll come back to after a 1 or maybe a 2 year lease, and they bought it from somebody else somewhere, and they're selling it to you. Our car happened to be from Orlando. The Honda Odyssey that we bought was a pre-owned certified at an Orlando Honda dealership. They came back off of a lease. It was a pre-owned certified. They didn't sell it 90 days. They put it up for auction. Frontier went and bought it. They put it up sale for us. We bought it. Like, it was really just that easy. And we got exactly the car we were looking for at a smoking deal with, you know, I mean, my wife loves this vehicle. I mean, I do too, but, you know, because we're Honda people. But that's the point, is their warranty every car to 10 years or 100,000 miles. And if they don't have exactly what you want, which, you know, that could happen, send them looking for it. They go buy cars all the time. Just say, hey, I want that, but in red. Or I want that, but, you know, I'm willing to pay a little bit more to get fewer miles. Or I'd like to pay a little bit less if you find me one that's 2 or 3 years old instead of 1 year. Again, they do that for folks all the time. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for 29 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles with an auto warranty about to expire or with no warranty coverage at all. Due to a decline in the economy, CarShield is announcing a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that is now available to the public to save any driver out-of-pocket expenses on future auto repairs. Call now to find out how you can pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Yes, you heard that correctly. Pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. An open phone line has been established for all drivers to call for a free quick quote. Call 800-478-6430 now. Drivers who are covered will not have to pay for covered repairs again. This protection plan is at an all-time low. Additionally, drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Call us for your free quick quote today. 800-478-6430. That's 800-478-6430. What do you have to lose? Call 800-478-6430. Again, 800-478-6430.
The I-10 Wired TechNet CyberCoast Summit returns October 28th to Pensacola Beach. This is the Southeast's premier cybersecurity and technology conference. Get connected with top experts and explore the cutting-edge trends shaping our future. From AI to robotics to national security and healthcare tech. Discounts available for students, military, and government employees. Don't miss out. Secure your tickets today at itenwired.com.
Getting you up to date as you head to work. Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Louis Cipher. Lucifer. Even your name is a Dime Store joke.
You know, the day destroys the night. Night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide. Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side, yeah.
Good morning, 523 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News on a Friday. Happy Friday to you. It looked like the, did I miss the sunrise? It looked like it was going to be pretty, and I look over now and it's over. You know, that's how it goes, though. It's very fast. A couple of interesting notes. One, I can't remember if we have talked about this yet, but it is an interesting note. I know I mentioned yesterday that, I think it was yesterday, Had to give James Uthmeyer, the Attorney General, a little bit of credit. You know, everyone, I mean, even a blind pig finds a nut. just, you know, if James Uthmeyer had not done all the scurrilous things that he has done, you know, marginally or what I think are outright illegal things or been a bully or weird, otherwise, I would think he's a good guy. Like, I mean, we kind of align on almost all of the politics stuff for the most part. You know, and then you just you see who a person really is, and you're like, man, you know. So, but he, like I said, you know, he still does some good things. And one of the things that he has done is take a pretty firm stance on guns and gun freedom and the Second Amendment here in Florida. I told you that he had kind of gone to battle with, you know, one of his little O opinions, not an opinion from the Attorney General, but a, you know, little O, here's what I think. I happen to be the Attorney General. Here's the fine stationery. I know it doesn't carry any legal weight, but nevertheless, scare to an HOA and telling them, hey, let people carry guns in your private, in your public areas. You cannot stop people from carrying guns in the state of Florida. And they say it's private property. And I think if it came to a, you know, a legal fight, I don't know who for sure would win, but, you know, they back down because he's the AG. Well, we got another one. It's not quite the same as that in the sense that, you know, he's outside of his authority. He is in his authority here. You know, when somebody sues the state, ultimately the state has to defend the law. And in this case, somebody has sued the NRA, has sued the state over the 3-day waiting period, which when you go to buy a gun, unless you have a concealed carry permit, which one of the benefits of having a concealed carry permit, even though you don't need it anymore because you can conceal carry without a permit now in Florida, one of the benefits of having it is that you buy the gun, you get the gun right then. It's like TSA pre-check for buying a firearm. So that's nice. It's a nice benefit. Well, most people have to wait 3 days. That's a rule in Florida, the cooling off period, 72 hours. Now, that can be longer if you're buying on a Thursday and in business day, and it can be Monday. But the point is you have to wait longer in order to get it approved. Well, the NRA sued and said this is unconstitutional. And this has been in Florida law for a long time. Like, this is in the 90s is when it got passed. Then after the Pulse, this is 10 years, you know, we have just had the 10-year anniversary for the Pulse nightclub shooting yesterday, I believe. Anyway, after the Pulse, which was 2016, in 2018, they signed legislation, Governor Scott did, that expanded the waiting period on handguns to include all firearms, so rifles and shotguns, basically. Well, the NRA sued over this waiting period, claiming that it was illegal or unconstitutional. And the state typically has to defend its laws, but the state can also say, ah, you got this one, we're out. We're not going to defend it. So that's basically what he's decided, is we're not going to defend it. And now the question is, will a court just strike it down since it doesn't have anybody to defend it anymore? And the thinking is that probably that's what's going to happen, but the court has to actually do it. So the long-winded way of explaining this is that, you know, we're likely to lose the 3-day waiting period rule sometime in the near future because the lawsuit without a defending, you know, state is probably going to win. And the one reason I bring this up is because I agree with this. You know, I think that I don't think that waiting periods are necessarily unconstitutional. I just think that they're not a great idea. I don't think they accomplish what you want it to accomplish, but it's a policy question, and you can have a good discussion about whether it's good or bad policy to have those. What I don't like is the way things get covered and kind of a biased or prejudiced or loaded language that gets used in reporting on it. In particular, with this one, there were several headlines from all over the state the other day, and they all basically said something like this. 36-year-old gun safety rule or gun safety law in Florida could be declared illegal. Well, I take objection to that because calling it a gun safety law is a bias. Allowing people to purchase firearms is also a rule which is allowed to facilitate safety. You know, we don't let people buy guns because we think that it's bad for them or dangerous. We let them buy guns because we think that guns are a way of protecting you and your home and, you know, defending you against a foreign invasion or domestic tyranny, the Second Amendment core concepts. So the idea that if you restrict access to guns, that's a safety law. And if you allow access to guns, that's an unsafety law. Well, no, I mean, allowing people access to guns is also a safety law. You say, well, How is it safety to let people buy? Because people use guns to be safe. So calling it a safety law is a bias. I just think you should find other ways to say it. You know, you could say 36-year-old gun restriction, right? Would be a simple way to do it. But, you know, one person's gun safety law is another person's constitutional right infringement. And I would prefer if news sources would cover things in an even-handed way. You say, well, who needs to buy a gun that can't wait 3 days? Well, I mean, I don't know. Let's imagine some woman who's been in an abusive marriage for 10 years. She finally gets free, but her ex now, or her husband, however you want, or her boyfriend, she knows he's violent and dangerous, and he's made threats, and he's, you know, posted things, and he's called her, or he's told people, you know, I'm going to take you with me. Well, in my world, I would allow her to walk into any firearm store anywhere in the U.S., especially in Florida, and buy a gun to protect herself and go to the range and practice and get ready. That's my preference, to make her safe. Or, you know, imagine there's a court case going on that's going to, you know, has the threat of making a public ruckus, a riot even. I would like shop owners and citizens to be able to walk right in, buy a gun, and make sure that their shop or their family or their home can be safe that day. I don't think they should have to wait 3 days after the court case and the riots. And those are just two examples, but you get the point. Sometimes you shouldn't have to wait to be safer with a gun.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. President Trump, during a virtual rally last night in Georgia,
we ended the war with Iran,
adding
they have agreed never to have a nuclear weapon, something that we insisted on. That was the whole purpose. That was 95% of it. And they've done it in the most powerful way you can do it.
And in the Oval Office Thursday, the president spelled out a potential timeline to complete the deal.
It'll be soon. Maybe this weekend.
Axios reporting this morning, 4 U.S. Air Force planes have been sent to Europe to prepare for a possible signing ceremony between the U.S. and Iran. Oil is down on this Friday morning. U.S. Park Police and other first responders find the grass close to the World War II Memorial at the National Mall vandalized with the numbers 8647 written in that grass. Some believe that's a term that can mean kill the president. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3, 75 degrees. We've got clear skies this morning. We'll get a look at our forecast from Channel 3 up in just a few minutes. Escambia County residents rallied yesterday against the potential construction of an AI data center in the county. Protesters gathered at Palafox and Garden Streets, citing concerns about water consumption, noise pollution, and the effects on electric bills. Channel 3 News reports that there are some negotiations to build a facility in the Cantonment or Century area. Protesters do say they plan to take their concerns to the Escambia County Commission meeting on Wednesday. A child was briefly trapped after sand collapsed on them while digging a hole at Pensacola Beach on Thursday. That happened at about 2:15 p.m. on Via de Luna Drive. Escambia County EMS, Fire Rescue, and Pensacola Beach lifeguards all responded. The child was treated at the scene. Nobody was taken to the hospital. Milton's chief financial officer is on paid administrative leave as outside auditors review concerns involving missing journal entries and untracked assets. City manager Ed Spears did address the issue on Tuesday, saying the concerns involved accounting records and not missing money.
At this time, the chief financial officer, Curtis Krebs, has been placed on paid administrative leave in accordance with the city's established personnel policies to preserve the integrity of the process, protect the rights of all involved, and comply with applicable confidentiality obligations. The city will not take questions or provide comments beyond this statement at tonight's meeting. If and when it's appropriate and permissible to share additional information, the city will do so through appropriate channels.
Spears said auditors from Warren Averett first identified missing information on April 29th while working on the city's annual audit. He said there's been no finding of any theft or fraud. The full financial audit report is expected to go to the city council next month. Well, with summer heat arriving in Pensacola, police spokesman Mike Wood says one question that comes up every year deserves a clear answer. Yes, he says you can legally break a car window to save a dog or animal in distress. Woods says too many people assume that they can't.
If the police department gets called and we get there and the dog or the animal is in distress, we're going to pop that window. But I want to make sure that the general public knows that they can do the same thing. If the dog is in distress, they can bust that window. But all we ask is we need you to call us and get us on the way there, or call us shortly afterwards and let us know and be there with the animal unless it needs to be taken for emergency care immediately.
And Wood says leaving a child or an animal in a hot car is a criminal offense. PPD has charged people for that before, and he says they will again. He also reminded parents that following this week's Gerhardt Drive drownings, that a missing child should be reported to police immediately. Well, the Pensacola Beach Air Show is back next month with a lineup that carries a little bit of extra meaning this year. The show running July 15th through the 18th. This year, it marks both the 80th anniversary of the Blue Angels and the 250th birthday celebration for the United States. Along with the Blue Angels closing out Friday and Saturday performances, the lineup includes a B-1B Lancer Bomber, F-35A Lightning II jets from the historic Red Tails of the 187th Fighter Wing, a rare World War II F-4U Corsair, wing walking, and, of course, Red Bull Aerobatics. Miami-Dade County is apparently the poster child for unsustainable government growth. At least that's according to Florida CFO Blaise Ingolia yesterday. He criticized Miami-Dade for wasteful and excessive spending and said the county wasted more than $800 million over the last 3 years. 5:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our forecast from Channel 3 and meteorologist Marion Caldwell.
Another typical summertime day is on tap to round out the work week. Temperatures this morning starting out in the 70s under mostly clear skies. This afternoon will feature highs in the upper 80s and low 90s. Mostly sunny skies, just a chance for an afternoon sea breeze shower. Going into tonight, very warm with lows in the upper 70s, maybe even some low 80s. But then the weekend continues to feature mostly dry weather with sunny and warm conditions. Meteorologist Marion Caldwell, your WEAR First Warning Weather Forecast.
And right now we've got 75 degrees, clear skies, your next news in 30 minutes, and breaking news anytime it happens. This is News Radio 92.3.
With your money now. SpaceX is selling just over 555 million shares at $135 a piece, raising $75 billion in the largest IPO on record. The company had already set the share price, giving investors a take it or leave it deal. SpaceX is set to debut on the NASDAQ today under the ticker symbol SPCX. Traders on the prediction market platform Polymarket thinks it's likely that SpaceX will rise in its public market debut today and see high odds it will close with a market capitalization of more than $2 trillion. SpaceX would enter a club of just five other U.S. companies with a market value of above $2 trillion. OpenAI's ChatGPT reached 1 billion monthly users in May. Sensor Tower data also states that Anthropic's Claude benefited from a public response to OpenAI's deal with the Department of Defense in February. But as AI plays an increasingly central role across daily life, any souring public sentiment will likely make few dents in overall usership. Futures are up this morning. That's your money now.
Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Whether it's the style and performance of the all-new 2026 Outback or the extraordinary mileage of the 2026 Forester Hybrid, your next Subaru is guaranteed to put more scenery in your scenic route. The iconic Subaru Outback has been completely redesigned with sharper lines and more edge, making it look as tough and rugged as it drives. And the Forester Hybrid, with a driving range of up to 581 miles per tank and up to 40% better city fuel economy, will let you hit the road again and again and again. Both come standard with Subaru's legendary symmetrical all-wheel drive to help you take every journey with confidence. The all-new 2026 Subaru Outback and the 2026 Forester Hybrid. Love never looks so good. Get your next Subaru at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, or online at AndersonSubaru.com. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Every piece of jewelry has a story. Some start with a yes. Some start with, this belonged to my grandmother. Some start with, can we turn this into something new? However the story begins, the right jeweler helps it last. With custom design, careful restoration, and engagement rings built to last generations, Beret Jewelers has helped Pensacola keep those stories shining strong. Beret Jewelers. 40 years of coastal shine.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
Strike at any time. At any time.
Again, we are dealing with a tornado warning right now. This is going to be in Santa Rosa County.
At any time.
And Steve, you're looking at the radar. What are you seeing right now?
What you need to know.
Well, on the News Radio ThreatNet radar, the showers are covering the entire north part of Escambia County, moving into the downtown area.
Severe weather can strike at any time. What you need to know.
News Radio 92.3.
Young girl, like I said, this is an 8 and a 5 year old. I know when my own kids were in swim lessons, it was probably around 8 years old. I have no knowledge that the young one had swim lessons. I believe that the older one had been in the pool. Is it possible that the younger one fell in and was struggling, and the 8 year old went savior? That this was obviously these little girls loved each other very much. They spent a lot of time together on adventures, and if we were going through the possibilities, it's very possible that the 8-year-old passed while trying to save her 5-year-old, who was a less proficient swimmer. I think that's a real possibility, but I don't have concrete as far as that answer.
That's Chief Winstrom speaking at a press conference earlier this week. It is obviously one of the most horrifying stories. We've all heard it, and having these two young girls die in a drowning accident in a neighbor's pool, it's just awful to imagine. All of us who are parents, anybody who cares about people, it's just, you know, it's hard to wrap your brain around it. Especially, as Chief said so many times, even when everything is done right, it doesn't mean that people are safe. And as I talked about extensively yesterday, that's the nature of the world that we live in, unfortunately, is, you know, we want to be able to control things and we do not control things. And then, you know, how do you reconcile that with your faith? Well, like I said, we talked about it quite a bit yesterday. Joining us now, we have Mike Wood. He is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir. Good to have you.
Good morning.
So at this point, I know Chief gave a good update on Tuesday, but at this point, it sounds like the, you know, key facts were they had two fences. It was exceeding code because code requires one kind of an impediment. Looks like maybe the one girl climbed a fence and let her sister in, and then they were swimming. And then theoretically, maybe the younger one got in distress and the other one tried to save her and was not good, and they both wind up drowning. No charges pending at this point. Anything else you want to update us on as far as the facts go?
No, those are still the facts as we know. They're still looking into it. There were cameras out front on homes, but not so much in the backyard. So we don't know exactly who got in trouble first or how exactly they got over the fence. Obviously, there was a climbing involved, but we don't know if one climbed and opened the fence for the other or what exactly is going on there. That's what we believe happened, but that's still under investigation.
Okay. And again, you know, some people have asked the question, well, where were the parents? And I think, have you not ever had an 8-year-old? I mean, you know, you just cannot police a crafty, outgoing child 24 hours a day. It's just not possible. You know, you might have a lot, but they're kids. You know, they do stuff. They're adventurous. And to some degree, you want that. I mean, that's a normal behavior for a child, even though this, I guess, had previously had some kind of a missing or runaway kind of scenario in the past, right?
Sam, but you got to remember, this is a 5-year-old and an 8-year-old, and kids are allowed to play. They're allowed to play outside. Yeah. The father was getting dinner ready. So I don't, you know, as far as blame goes, you just can't do that in the situation. He was doing what he was preparing dinner for his kids, and two slipped out. And, you know, I've raised two kids myself, and it's happened. And so, you know, people, when things like this happen, people just want to rush to judgment mm-hmm. sometimes. And again, like you said earlier, and like Chief Lindstrom said, it, both sides, the neighbor with his security of his pool and the father can do everything right and still tragedy strikes.
Absolutely. And, you know, I know you and I are of an age where we think about how we were as kids. And, you know, Gen X people like to tell everybody, you know, when we were kids, we'd bike around until the lights came on and we'd go rummaging around the neighborhood or elsewhere. And that's normal. That's right. Letting kids play outside is a perfectly normal thing to do. And the notion that somehow if you're not keeping your eyeballs on your 8-year-old or even a 5-year-old every single moment of the day, you're doing something wrong. Well, that's absurd. That's a form of negligence, too, if you're always watching them and they never learn to be independent, you know, people, basically. Right.
Exactly. You're not going to keep them in the house or keep them in the room all day. Kids are kids. They're allowed to play in the neighborhood, and it's fortunate that we have, you know, neighborhoods where kids can still go out and play. And it's just a horrible situation.
Well, I want to talk about this a little bit in terms of officer response, because you know, it's affected an awful lot of people. Your officers see trauma all the time. I think of the medical examiner. I think of EMS, PFD, all ECFR. All of these folks see horrible things all the time, but there's nothing worse than getting called to a missing child and then finding out the absolute worst possible result, right?
Yeah, that's the very worst call that we can go on. Any officer or first responder can tell you that those are calls that they will never forget. That's in their brains the rest of their lives. I can tell you from, you know, I remember the names of each and every one that I responded to and their faces. And that's something that you're just never going to get out of your mind. And these first responders see more of this in a month than most people do in their lifetime.
I don't know how you do it. And I don't know how you deal with child crimes. I don't, you know, I had a good friend who I've said many times was a, you know, an investigator, a detective with the, you know, Phoenix Police Department. And, you know, his kids are the same age as our kids. And he had to stop doing it when they got to be about 6. He's like, I can't do this anymore. I just can't deal with it. And I don't know how they deal with it. So what do you do for these officers? Because whether it's this or some lesser trauma that they observe, or, you know, if they see 2 or 3 cases on a day where, you know, it kind of builds up over time, how do you self-monitor and make sure that the officers are doing okay to handle the next incident that comes up and to handle it professionally and with, you know, good response?
Situation, Chief Lindstrom responded. Deputy Chief Coverdale was there. The street lieutenant, the shift lieutenant was there. All of them asked these officers if they were okay. And they're going to be able to have the mental health help if they so choose. And sometimes, per policy, there are situations to where they have to go whether they like it or not. So, which is a good thing, because I remember the days where that was not even offered. In fact, if you were to ask for it, you were looked down upon, like maybe you can't handle this job and you should go find something else to do. Those times are gone. They've changed. Fortunately, and the Pensacola Police Department is very good about getting officers help and sending them to talk to somebody after situations like this.
Yeah, you know, I pretty vividly remember talking to when he was chief, Tommy Leiter, about this, and it was in the era of the George Floyd. And, you know, one of the observations was that sort of 5 million mile stare of indifference can be the result of, you know, not treating the trauma, not dealing with it, not talking to somebody about it. And, you know, you're absolutely right. It used to be the idea that, you know, don't tell them you're hurt, just play through it, coach. And, you know, don't tell them you're suffering, just play through it, chief, and, you know, go forward. But it's not enough to just ask them to self-police. You've really got to be kind of rude about it and, you know, make sure, hey, tell me if there's a problem. And it's leadership from the top that says it's okay to say no. In fact, it's perfectly understandable, because we don't want you going back out in the field when you're suffering from a trauma, right? I did want to just switch a little bit, because you also, we've had something that you and I have talked about several times, but I want to make sure that we get this update. We've had yet another, somebody tried to break into, is it Baptist or is it Wahoo Stadium this time?
Hey, this time it was Wahoo Stadium once again. I think this is 3 weeks straight that we've talked about this on the show. And again, they were caught and charged, and I don't know how else to, maybe signage should go up if you're in the stadium after hours, you're about to talk to a Pensacola police officer, maybe that'll work. It's happened once again.
Could we have maybe a motion sensor inside the stadium that just says something like, get out. You know, maybe it's not a law enforcement threat, but a haunted threat that would get them to comply. I don't know. It's crazy. Two more?
Yeah. Maybe we could get a big cardboard stand-up of Chief Winstrom on the pitcher's mound that pops up as soon as the motion is detected and a light comes on and says that we're about to come talk to you. We're on the way. Hold on just a minute. I mean, it's that, and I don't mean to shed light upon a crime, but this is getting crazy. And that facility is watched and monitored very, very well. And these two incidents, or these two people, said that they were just thirsty. They were looking for something to drink.
I mean, I almost wonder, you know, there's this old theory in law enforcement and, you know, criminal activity that just talking about bad behavior gives people the idea to do it. And, you know, it's kind of the reason why certain kinds of crimes don't get covered as much, because the theory is just don't publicize it. But what are you going to do? It's apparently a lot of people don't realize this is a crime, or they do and they don't take it seriously. And we want them to know you'll get caught. But, you know, PP yeah. is 100% on catching folks. Oh, you know, one quick thing I did want to make sure to not fail to revisit, which is when you should call, because obviously you guys came pretty quickly to, you know, find these girls. But if there's any one thing I wish I could get TV and movies to stop doing, it's, and you and I have talked about this many times, how long should you wait when somebody is missing, adult or child, to call?
You don't wait. You call us. Get us on the way. We're not offended or going to be upset when you call right back and say, hey, everything's okay. They were asleep under the bed. The first thing you need to do is, if you have a pool, if you have a water source nearby, is go check that first and then get us on the phone. Because we don't mind getting canceled. In fact, we'll enjoy that. You know, the child has been found and safe and everything's great. But, check bodies of water there very close. And at the same time, grab that cell phone and call 911, because we're going to come and there's going to be a lot of us responding. Again, like I said, on this particular situation, even the command staff, I mean, the building empties out when there's a missing child. It's something we take very seriously, and there's going to be a lot of us on the way.
And I know exactly what goes through the minds of the parent is, you know, you talk yourself out of having that reaction, because you say, well, I don't want to inconvenience them, or, you know, they tend to get into things and it's okay. But and you know, you can have an oversensitive reaction by a parent. I get that too. But at the point where you're worried and you're starting to look and you're concerned and you're running around the neighborhood yelling for them, pick up the phone and call, right?
Yes. Seconds matter. Every second matters. And that needs to be one of the first things you do, besides looking in your own pool or retention pond that might be next door. Get on the phone with us immediately. I can't stress that enough.
Because you never want to have that regret of what if I had, and again, it's 100 false calls is fine. If that's what it takes to, you know, maybe save a life, I mean, well worth it, certainly well worth it. We always like to end with a did you know or a cop myth. Did you have one for me this week, Mike, or was it that one?
Yeah, this is a did you know, and this has to do, but it's June, it's getting hot, and people, once again, like they do every year, are leaving dogs and animals in their cars when they're shopping. I just want to make sure everybody understands it, and everybody knows that if the police department gets called and we get there and the dog or the animal is in distress, we're going to pop that window. But I want to make sure that the general public knows that they can do the same thing. If the dog is in distress, they can bust that window. But all we ask is, we need you to call us and get us on the way there, or call us shortly afterwards and let us know. And be there with the animal unless it needs to be taken for emergency care immediately. Just make contact with us. Don't just pop the window and take the dog and leave. We need to be contacted. Stay on site if you can, and wait for us. And that's how that's done. So it is permissible if you believe that animal is in a dire situation to not wait for us. You can pop that window yourself, but just hold on until we get there.
But same for a child. Of course, it's that same thing. If you, it's like articulating a reasonable suspicion of danger when you're talking about self-defense, articulating or able to articulate a reasonable suspicion that a child or a pet's life is in danger or they are in distress in a hot car, then it's justified, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And the reason I brought it up, everybody, it knows, and hopefully it's common sense. If it's a child, absolutely go for it. But I was asked about, well, you can't do it if it's a dog. A regular citizen can't do it if it's a dog. That is simply not true, and that's why I wanted to talk about that.
And on the flip side, it's a crime for the car owner, right?
Yes, absolutely. And we have charged those in the past that do that, and we will again. And while we're on the subject, if you leave the car running and the air conditioning on, that too is against the law.
Because?
So you can't leave the car running unattended in the state of Florida.
That's it. It's an unattended motor vehicle in operation, and that's illegal for different reasons than endangering the life of a child or a pet, right?
Exactly. Sometimes it's best to leave somebody in the vehicle with them, or maybe leave the animal at home. It's everybody has different situations on why they bring them, but we just want to make sure everybody knows what the law is.
Everybody knows it's inconvenient, but the law is the law, and you know that's exactly why it exists. Mike Wood, he is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. As always, Mike, thank you so much for the time. Thanks for the great information, teaching us how to be safe and keeping us safe. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
Absolutely. 5:54 here on News Radio 92.3. If you're considering buying a home or selling a home, you want to get a realtor who's going to really take care of you, understand the market, get you all the way through to closing, take care of your needs as best as possible, and honestly, be straight with you. You know, one of the things that I love about Christina, and I was just listening to her on Pep Talk the other day, this week, where she was explaining that, you know, sometimes we tell people, look, I don't think you should sell your home. Now, look, the customer's right. If they're bent on selling it, that's fine. But she'll tell them, look, I don't think you're going to get out of your home what you want. You're not going to be able to get what you want on the other side. And frankly, the things you've told me you're interested in accomplishing by making a trade, it's really not. We don't think it's going to work for you that way. And I love that a realtor will literally turn down business if she doesn't think, or will at least advise you not to do it, if she doesn't think it's going to work out the way you want it to in the end. Because you want somebody who's going to tell you, hey, we cannot get that price, or you know, you need to offer more, or you need to do this, or you need to not do that, because that's what you want. And that's part of the reason why they get so many results. 209 homes sold last year. Why? Well, diligence, follow-through, skill, knowledge of the market, and people, and honesty, quite frankly. Giving people a fair assessment of what to expect and then delivering what they expect. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the summer and fall semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
Bands on the Beach happens every Tuesday night at 7, brought to you by the Santa Rosa Island Authority. Come on out with a blanket or a lawn chair and get ready to catch the vibes on the sand behind the Gulfside Pavilion. This Tuesday, it's Goldmine. Goldmine is Pensacola's own classic rock band, bringing the golden era of rock back to life. From festival stages to a brand new Nashville-produced EP, Goldmine rocks all generations. It's all happening this Tuesday night at Bands on the Beach. Just remember, no pets or glass allowed.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1, to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
You're talking about it. We're talking about it.
The midterm elections.
Who will win? Who will not?
It'll all be covered on News Radio 92.3.
Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
You have to set an example even in the face of stupidity. Now, everybody that reads comic books knows that Kirby Silver Surfer is the only true Silver Surfer. Now, am I right or wrong?
You're right, sir.
All right. Get out of here.
Yes, sir.
What if you could get the benefits of sleep without actually having to waste time sleeping?
Let's do it, bro.
You have my attention. Scientists used light-controlled tools to trigger the brain's deep sleep firing patterns in awake, moving mice, and some of sleep's core benefits followed. So you basically take a bunch of lights that are designed to stimulate the portions of the brain that engage in the sleep recovery mode of healing that you get when you're actually asleep in these mice that have had artificially genetically modified, you know, bodies to some degree. And what happened is mice that had been deprived of real sleep but had been given this sort of fake sleep treatment did just as well on memory task as mice that had actually slept. And much better, of course, than the ones who had been kept awake listening to metal or whatever they do to keep mice awake these days. I never know because, you know, I know what you do for humans, but anyway. Right. Just quieting the brain wasn't enough, but sending it into this alternating off-on rhythm was what produced the restorative effects. They caution that it's only a study on mice with invasive techniques and no immediate pathway to use it for humans. But it does seem to offer a chance that you might manage to capture 5, 6, 8 hours a night of not actually having to sleep, but getting the benefits of it. There's electrodes, there's genetic alteration, mice being kept away for hours and hours and hours. But the short takeaway is that the sleep-deprived mice with the light experiment were able to recall things with the same amount of alacrity for brain activity that mice who, you know, just had sleep were doing. So, for those of us who work on a sleep-deprived schedule all the time, well, let's go, baby. You're listening.